Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, everybody. Are you ready for God's Word today? Get your Bible out. We're going to jump into it in just a minute. But let me take a quick sec and just welcome everybody who's joining us today, all of you on the broadcast that may be watching from home today, the rest of you that are here in the house joining us as we worship together on a Sunday morning, and maybe those of you that this week will be listening to the podcast as you're working out at the gym. Wherever you are, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for spending some time with us. We believe that this service, this message, our worship time together today will help set the tone for the rest of your week. And so I trust it blesses you. Now, today is also a very special day for our church family. Today is Vision Offering Sunday. Vision Offering Sunday. This is an annual offering that enables us to take another giant leap forward in fulfilling the opportunities that God has placed before us. So over the last month, we've been planning, we've been praying, we've been preparing to participate in this day. So would you join me today and let's believe God for just a miraculous day of giving. I want to challenge all of you, whether you can do it today on this actual day or sometime before year end, would you do something special? Would you ask God what he would have you to give? Some can give small seeds, some can give large seeds, and if that's you, I want all of you to just stretch, to do something special as we continue to improve our facilities and our ministry to the community. We've got about $70,000 worth of projects that we're tackling this year that we believe we can take care of with the blessing that God has placed within this church. And so do something special. This is an offering that's over and above our regular tithes and offerings. Sorry? Did you say something?
No.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. I'm going to keep going, but can you get rid of this?
Yeah.
It's above our regular tithes and offerings, but it's something that you can do that is special. And we can't do it alone, but together, when we come together, I believe we can meet this need. So you can go to our website, calvary.ca, and give at that same address, /give on Calvary Connect. You can give in person here on a Sunday. There's many very safe ways to give, but you'll be hearing more from one of our directors today as we take up that offering. Let's pray and believe for something great as we step out. Let's take a moment now and pray. Father, we thank you today for those that are generously giving in today's vision offering. We ask that you would cause each person to take the seed that's in their hand and multiply it to do great things in the kingdom and in our church family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we are in week number 4 of an 8-episode series called The Heart of Discipleship, a journey of spiritual growth that we've actually been in since Easter. And our series has focused on your faith, on how we can grow in our faith. And as a Next Steps church, we're always trying to come alongside of you to help you grow on your own discipleship path. And each of us are walking a different one. Now, our foundational scripture for this series that anchors the entire 2 months of teaching is actually found in the words, Jesus' final words in the book of Matthew. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at verses 19 through 20. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples." Now that word disciple here literally means a student or one who's being instructed in the things of faith. So he's commissioning his disciples. And he's commissioning each of us to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them. Now, this is something that is a very important next step after you've given your heart to the Lord, once you start following him, which we're celebrating today. We've got baptisms that we're celebrating here in the service today, which is really one of my favorite services, as you see God changing lives and people growing in their faith. And I would challenge you that if you've never been baptized before, but you've always thought, man, I really would love to be baptized, then take some time. Talk to one of our hosts if you're joining us online. Talk to one of our hosts that are in the foyer at the Welcome Center. We'd love to see you sign up so that you're part of the next baptisms that are happening. But the command here is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything Jesus said, I have commanded you. And that's what I'm here to do today, to try to help every one of you to obey what he's commanded us to do, to try to make it easier and more clear to understand so that we can walk it out in our lives. And then it says, and surely I am with you always. Now, this has forever been one of my favorite promises, because no matter what you go through, no matter what you face, he will never leave you or forsake you. His promise is that I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. So he's an always God who doesn't leave us to grow alone. He's with us as we grow always. That's a big word. It covers a lot of who we are. And you know what? Last week, Mark did a great job talking about that growth and how that growth is connected to being planted in the church, because it's in community that our roots, our discipleship roots, are strengthened. So today we're going to build on that. We're going to build on that with episode 4 in a message I'm calling Loving One Another. Loving one another. Now, not only are we to be a part of the local church, and we heard about why, this great community of faith, but one of the marks of being a disciple is that you're in the kind of relationships that you've opened yourself up to, other disciples of Christ that are bringing strength to your life. They're helping you to grow. And when we come alongside other disciples of Christ, we both benefit from that kind of relationships as we grow together. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 13. He said in verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. What? If you love one another. So that's the mark of being a disciple that we're talking about today. Our lives are shaped not just by what we know, but who we know. And your life is shaped, whether you like it or not, by people. God uses the relationships in your life to help you grow as a disciple. And I'm sure many of you have heard the saying, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's a very powerful statement. And listen, students, young people, listen to my words right now. Don't miss this. Choosing the correct friends, having the right relationships is absolutely critical to your growth. And I want to show you how even in the early church, that was one of the things that was happening. Now, as many of you know, the New Testament begins with four accounts of one story: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are four unique portraits of Jesus. This is the gospel. But the fifth book of the Bible is called the Acts of the Apostles. And Jesus has now ascended into heaven, and the church was born. In fact, Jesus appears in chapter 1 to give his final words, and then in chapter 2, the church is actually born, this spirit-empowered community of faith. Then the Apostle Peter stands up, and he gives the first sermon of this new church, and after only preaching for a few minutes, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, big things happened on one day. because they served and we serve a big God. So never limit your faith as to what God can do, because in God's hands, things can happen. Big things can happen in one day. You know, the reason we're called to be a big church is because souls matter to God. And we will do whatever it takes to continue to reach them, to introduce them to our big God. Because I'm talking about heaven and hell, man. This is eternity. This is serious business. It's not a game. People's lives hang in the balance, and our obedience to what he's commanded us to do can help save them and introduce them to a Savior that will change everything. But the church is also called, as it grows, bigger to become smaller at the same time. Now notice the next verse of Acts 2, and remember, thousands of people, right? They just got saved on one day, so what were their next steps? that's a lot of people to kind of follow up in one moment. Acts 2, 42 through 47 says, they devoted themselves, these were their next steps, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So they didn't just show up to a kind of one and done special event, a great service. They were also in relationship and fellowship. They spent time with one another. They spent time, the scripture says, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So this is referring in this context to communion, which we celebrate as a church family the first Sunday of every month as we come and we remember what he did on the cross, and we pray together. Scripture goes on to say everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So this was this spirit-empowered environment like our Sunday gatherings that we come to every week, where really every week we need to be coming expectant, where we are believing God that the impossible can be made possible. And then it says all the believers were together and had everything in common. So they were there for one another. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So these people became so close that they knew what the people next to them needed, and they helped meet that need. These people were being the church to one another, just like God is calling us to do today. And then it says this, every day, so not just on a Sunday, not just once a week, every day they continued to meet together. There's that word again, together. It says they met in the temple courts, but they also broke bread in their homes. Now the context of this bread that they're breaking is not communion, it's dinner. It's like nachos and salsa. These are people getting together for dinner, eating with one another in one another's homes. And it says, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So what was the result of this kind of community? The Bible says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So as they grew, the church did too, in relationships and in numbers. They weren't just big on Sundays, they were also small throughout the week, where those connections, like our Calvary groups, happened here at the church. Listen, I cannot recommend more highly getting involved in a small group within our church. This is where life happens. This is where people are ministering to one another, are strengthening one another, and are growing as disciples. But you know, interestingly enough, it wasn't just numbers that marked the early church. It was community. It wasn't just the miracles and the wonders. It was the relationships that marked their journey of growth. We sometimes underestimate the value of the relationships that God has brought into our lives. And after my more than three decades, listen, in full-time ministry, I've never seen a generation more in need of community, genuine community, than the generation we're in right now. Despite being the most digitally connected with the world, I think this generation is also the most socially disconnected because it lacks that kind of sincere community. Because that is the soil where healthy disciples of Christ are going to grow in community, in relationship with one another. You know, King Solomon, he spoke of this dynamic in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, when he talked about being alone and being in isolation, how difficult that is, despite having great means. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8 says, "There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. And there was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth." See, when you're alone, even though you may have the means to take care of some of the problems you have, there is still no end to your struggle if you don't have people around you, if you don't have friends. See, if you lack community, then that toil is just, it just grows. The kind of people that you need around you are those that love you, that believe in you, that respect you. This is the mark of a disciple. Followers of Jesus have real relationships with other followers of Jesus. And that doesn't mean that we're only to have relationships and friendships with people within the church, because we still need to go out there and let our light shine. But we need to make sure that the influence that we're taking into the world is that of Christ and not of the darkness influencing each of us. You know, Solomon, he was considered to be probably the wealthiest man of all time. Yet he experienced the discontentment of alone. You know, you can be wealthy and miserable at the same time. We hear about this every day. And for Solomon, this was wisdom based experience. Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, "A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses." Remember, you have a choice. You have a choice to allow healthy friendships in your life and to kick those toxic relationships to the curb. If you allow them to stay in your life, it will eventually influence you. So you have a choice to make. But here's the thing. Anything that's worth anything, especially healthy relationships, they're going to take work. It's going to take hard work. And there's a big difference between expectation and effort when it comes to these relationships. Because you can expect the best from the people that you become friends with. But are you willing to put in the effort to bring the best possible version of yourself to the table? Whether that's in a new relationship that leads to marriage or whether that's just a friendship. You know, whether it's the spouse that you've made this covenant with or even a coworker. Like, when you bring your best version to the table in those relationships, you can impact their lives. You can be an influence that brings them hope and life and promise. Now, as a disciple of Christ, what I want for you is to have the kind of spiritual skill set that will help you to choose the right relationships. So let me give you a few of those things. The first one is we need to nurture important relationships. We need to nurture them. I don't know if you've ever talked to a friend who's frustrated with their relationship, maybe with their significant other or a friend, and then they'll blurt out to you, "Man, it shouldn't take this much work. It shouldn't." But I disagree, because if it's going to be a healthy relationship, it will require work. Any fire will eventually burn out unless you add wood to it. Without fuel, it's eventually going to die. The same is true with the important relationships in your life, with God, with marriage, with kids. It takes work. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the end of days, the end times. And this angel comes to warn the church about seven things, and this is the first of those warnings. Revelation 2, verse 4 to 5 says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent. This is this warning that's coming. And repent here doesn't mean you just give a sincere apology. It means that you change direction. That requires effort. That requires work. Repent and do the things you did at first. Listen, some of you that are married right now, don't forget the days when you pursued one another because of the love that you had for one another. Keep that pursuit. Keep that pursuit hot. Keep going after them. The same is true with our relationship with God. When we first came to know Christ, we felt this joy and this energy about what we had decided to do. And we began to read the word and pray and go to church. Listen, continue to do the things that you did early in your relationship with God. Continue to go after him. Do the things you did, as Revelation said, at first. Whatever relationship in your life that is struggling today, make a decision today. Today, I'm going to add fuel to that relationship. Whether that's taking someone out for coffee, meeting with a family member who you haven't talked to in a very long time, having a date night, whatever it takes, you need to add fuel to the fire. The second thing that we need to do is to restore broken relationships. Now, I know that this one is not easy at all. We've all had relationships with brothers or sisters or moms or dads or friends that are now broken for one reason or another. Man, that hurts. It really does. And I get that. And so in our lives, we need to understand that by doing everything we can to restore those broken relationships, that we can have a new level of health in our lives. But then I've had people that say to me that, oh, Pastor Steve, listen, I want to do that, but what happens if the other party doesn't participate? What happens then? Sometimes they don't care. Well, Romans 12, 17 to 19 says this. It says, do not repay evil for evil. And sometimes we want to. Like, they did this to me. They stuck it to me. I'm going to stick it to them because I don't like what they said about me, or I don't like what they did to me, so I'm going to do it to them. Scripture says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Let God deal with them. Let God repay. Let him be the judge. It says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So do your part. People with great relationships, I have found over the years, they don't carry bitterness around with them. They just don't. So be quick to forgive. That's why it's included in the Lord's Prayer. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Never forget that he forgave you. Pass that along. Pay that forward. Continue to follow his example. The third thing we need to do is to redefine harmful relationships. Now, the truth is, some of us have relationships today that we shouldn't have. These are the people who continually pull you further and further away from God instead of helping you come closer to God. Young people, these are the people that say, if you love me, you will do this or you will do that. Listen, if they truly love you, they will definitely not want you to do something that compromises your faith. These are people who continually oppose the things you value. And they're always giving you options to tempt you to compromise your beliefs. These are the people that we need to identify in our lives and in some cases remove from the relationships that we give time to. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Listen, you get around the wrong person and they will take from your life instead of adding to it as a growing disciple. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So be very selective and redefine those harmful relationships. If you know they're in your life, then you have the ability to change the narrative there. And then the fourth and final thing we need to do is to initiate meaningful relationships. I want to encourage all of you today as a disciple to step out and to deliberately develop the kind of relationships that will build you up and not tear you down. And I say deliberately because it's actually something that you need to set about doing. It's not just going to happen. Years ago when it came to discipleship, I heard somebody in faith who said, you need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in your life. Now, when I heard that years ago, I didn't really get it until I learned a little bit about those people. You need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. Well, Paul was a mentor to Timothy. So in your life, you and I, we need trusted and wise voices that can speak into our lives, people that will encourage you, people like Paul was as he mentored Timothy. What about Barnabas? Well, Barnabas was Paul's friend. He wasn't over him. He wasn't under him. This was a buddy, right? This is someone that you can be honest with. I mean, really honest with. This is an accountability partner that's in your life. These are the kinds of people that know you best. They can see through your foolishness and they can see really who you are. You need those kind of people in your life, like Barnabas, who was a friend to Paul. But you also need a Timothy, someone that you're speaking into, an apprentice, another disciple, that as people invest in you, that you can develop those kind of relationships where you invest in them as well. I find that you grow so much faster when someone else is depending upon you, right? And you can have opportunities to do this and develop in this even within the context of a church family. You can lead a team. You can lead a small group. Step out and allow God to work in and through you to encourage other people. And learn to live your life generationally, loving one another all along the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the relationships that you've placed in our lives that help us to grow. May the mark of discipleship be found in our lives as we diligently develop these kind of relationships, these kind of friendships, the kind of relationships where people, trusted voices, are speaking into our lives, where other people are close to us that we can be accountable to and go to in difficult times. And also people that we can invest into and pass along that same wisdom so that they will do the same. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the model that you've given us. Thank you that the world will recognize the mark of our lives as disciples by the love that we show towards one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.